So I'm amazed. I shouldn't be amazed, but I am. You know, God speaks to so many of us, and he confirms things through multiple people. Kem had no clue what my message was on this morning, and he's already been preaching it. He started out talking about unity, and that's an important thing that we need in this time. And one of the key things with unity is that it's going to require community. One of the key things with unity is that it's going to require community. We need each other and the body more than we ever have in the past. If you want to start turning to the book of Romans in chapter 15, Paul's talking to the believers at Romans. He wrote them a letter, and he's encouraging them. So we start in verse 1. We then, who are strong, ought to bear with the scruples of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded towards one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless the reading of his word. So Paul starts out saying, we then who are strong, go ahead and underline in your Bible, we who then who are strong, and write your name next to it. You see, Paul saw that we were all strong. God sees that we're strong. You might be thinking, well, I don't feel very strong. No, you are strong. And Paul's talking to them because he's continuing from chapter 14, where it talks about what at the time there were believers that were struggling with what foods are clean, what aren't, what can they eat, what can't they eat. And I encourage you, don't just take one section of the Bible that we may preach on. I encourage you, read before it, read after it on your own, because you'll see what the overall context is. And you'll make sure that you actually get the same thing as what we have prepared. He continues on and says, and not to please ourselves, but let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. Last week, we weren't here. We were on a little mini vacation visiting my family up in northern Michigan. And while we were up there, we had heard that there were bears in the campground the week before we were there. And so we don't have a lot of bears around here, but that got me thinking of the story that I've heard before. Two guys were camping when suddenly a bear comes out and is growling at them. One of them starts to put on their tennis shoes. The other one says, hey, what are you doing? You can't outrun a bear. The first one replies and says, nah, I don't have to outrun the bear. I just have to outrun you. Isn't that so fitting for what we just read? God uses humor too. But you know what? That's sometimes the way we are with the church. We just think, well, I just need to be a few steps ahead of somebody else. Well, I'm watching out for myself. I need to get all I can get. Okay, so I can outrun, or I'm outrunning this other guy. Yeah, the serpent will get him, not me. But we're not supposed to be looking out for ourselves. We're supposed to be looking out for each other. We don't need to be pleasing ourselves. We should be pleasing our neighbors. We need to fight our little appetites to feed our own desires and support others and what their preferences are. Sometimes it takes putting yourself out there. It could be money, it could be time, but it takes looking at yourself less and others more. That's where relationships come in so much too. When you have that relationship with somebody, you start recognizing when they're struggling with something. You start recognizing when they're going through a hard time, when maybe they're not themselves like they normally are. You can tell when something's up. And then you realize that, hey, I can come alongside them. 1 Corinthians 10:24 says, "Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being." Again, in Romans 14:19, Paul says, "Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another." You know, I'm sure most of you have had kids in this room, and you think about it when they're young and just kind of developing their own pace and their own little rhythms, and all of a sudden you hear, "Mine. Mine." They see somebody grabbing something that they were playing with previously. "Nope, mine." They don't want to share. We didn't have to teach them to say that. They were naturally saying that on their own. But what do we do as parents? Yeah, we teach them to share. So much like that, as we put ourselves aside, we teach others to also put themselves aside. Continuing in Romans 15, it said, "Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification." We're God's chosen people. We're his temple. We're his dwelling place. And we need to make sure that we are edified. There are many ways that we can edify or be edified. First is good counsel. So often when you're having those conversations, that relationship with other people, you may not actually even say a word, but just them talking things out, they go, "Oh, this is what I'm thinking, this is what I'm thinking," and you're able to confirm that with them. Can edify through reproof. Now, I don't know about you, but a lot of times fancy words confuse me. I'm good with numbers, not words. So I looked it up. Reproof is absolute or undeniable truth. It's a proof of something. Without a shadow of a doubt. Yes, there may be correction. And we all love to correct. We're all so good at correcting, but sometimes we need to receive that correction as well. And that's okay. Just hear it, think about it, pray about it, and let it be revealed by God. There can be instruction along the lines there. Somebody may say, "Hey, this is what I'm thinking needs to happen. Hey, this is what my opinion is, what I'm hearing from God for what should happen." One of the biggest ways that we're taught, though, is example. You know, that's one thing with being an example is, especially with today's time, with having the internet and Facebook and all the other social media, it's www. Whole world's watching. And so often our actions speak louder than our words. The way we act tells more than what we say. And you never know when somebody's going to be watching, when somebody's observing. Also, building up somebody's faith, helping them realize what God's done for them in the past, what God's going to continue to do for them in the future. You know, David showed that big time when he went out to go against Goliath, and he walks up to the battlefield, just a young boy, just a shepherd boy, and he walks up and sees this big giant out in the valley calling out the entire Israeli army. And he looks at him and says, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine?" He knew that God had delivered him from the bear, delivered him from the lion. He would deliver him from this giant. And he certainly did. You know, edification is a very good thing, too. And it should be done correctly, though. A couple of verses to share about edification. 2 Corinthians 13:10. Therefore, I write these things being absent, lest being present, I should use sharpness according to the authority which God has given me for edification and not for destruction. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. So here we see edification is a good thing. It's a positive thing. It shouldn't be used to bring somebody down. It should be used to build somebody up and bring somebody up in their spirit. We need to be in the right heart when we're trying to edify our brothers or sisters. If you're getting joy out of telling somebody that they should act or behave a certain way, that probably is a good sign that you're not intended to give that word of advice. Oftentimes it should break your heart having to try to correct your brother or sister. I know there have been times when we've had to confront somebody that it's been a war, because you care for them. You want to make sure that they build from it, but you want to make sure that you iron things out between your brother and sister. I'll say, again, the unity just should flow from that. One little tip I have here is we really can't edify or be edified when we're at aught with one another. So you need to try to make peace before trying to correct. Because they're instantly going to sense if you're coming in guns a-blazing. So you want to make sure you have peace with your brother or sister before you try to talk much out. Again, people are watching you. As I said with Romans 14, go back and read that. But one of the things that Paul was saying there is, if your brother or sister is struggling with something, don't do something in their face that they're going to stumble on that. If God's given you a conviction, but you know somebody else is struggling with it, don't try to force the issue. Try to be peaceful. Try not to let them stumble from that. I'll say right now, good example, masks. You know, you maybe feel comfortable. You may not have any concerns about it. But there are some other people that they really insist on wearing masks. They believe that the mask is helping them. So if they're not comfortable with you not wearing a mask, wear a mask around them. Now, I'm not talking about major issues, like if it's a brother or sister that doesn't believe that Jesus died and rose again and that he was indeed born of a virgin. We're talking about the little things. I don't say if it's somebody that doesn't have their prayer language or that doesn't operate in spiritual gifts, don't be praying in tongues loud as can be right next to them. Let them see the gifts working in you and then build them up to where they start believing. Paul goes on to say, for even Christ did not please himself. Jesus gave himself as the example here. Mark 10:45, he says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. He could have done it however he wanted. You know, he's king. I don't say he could have came in and barked orders, could have came in and said, this is what we're going to do. But that's not how he did it. He gave himself as the example. You think of Jesus washing the feet of the disciples. They all sat down, and Jesus realized that nobody had washed their feet. There was no servant to wash their feet. So instead of going, hey, Peter, hey, Andrew, why don't you stand up and go over and wash everybody's feet? No, Jesus set the example. He got up, he disrobed, he put the towel around his waist, and he went around and washed everybody's feet. So if you see something that needs done, jump in. Help out. We very much believe in body ministry here, where every part is doing its share. Every part is needed. 1 Corinthians 10:32 starts with, "Give no offense either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God, just as I also pleased all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but by the profit of many, that they may be saved. Imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ." Paul realized that Jesus had used himself as an example, and so he also tries to set the example, imitating Christ so that others would imitate him, imitating Christ. Because that's our ultimate goal, is to be the hands and feet of Jesus here on the earth. And we live our lives for others. There were times that Jesus corrected. There were times that Jesus put up with the disciples. So how do we know when to do each? Holy Spirit, He will talk to us. And then, obedience. Once we hear from God that that's what we should do, it's up to us to walk it out. James 1:5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." So seek God for the wisdom on how to handle every situation. Seek God for how to handle every interaction. God may even ask you, do you really want to say that to somebody, or do you just want to love on them? That's real. I'll say there are many times where you want to get in the flesh, you want to put somebody where you think they need to be put, or tell them what you think they need to be told, but God will tell you, no, just love on them. Because oftentimes that love does more than you ever know. But ultimately, it's hearing from God on what He wants you to do. And it's a daily walking with God. Out of that overflows to your interaction with others. That praying consistently, that getting in your Word and understanding and seeing what God wants. Continue that closer relationship with God. Paul quotes the scripture, says, "The reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me." Again, a big word, so I looked it up. Reproach comes out to say disgrace or shame, according to Strong's. A couple of translations, if you use the New Living Translation or the New International Version, says insults. So the insults of those who insulted you fell on me. And you think about it, you look back at all the Gospels, and you see exactly that. You see where Jesus saw how people were disrespecting God and just going through motions, not having that desire for God. And He was troubled by it. He took that sin for all of it. He took that sin for each and every person that had that mentality, that thought process. He did it for all those others, putting them ahead of Himself. "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." Wait, patience and comfort? Is he using the same sentence together? I don't get comfort a lot of times when I get patience, or when I'm trying to be shown patience, I should say. So this year, we've been doing a garden, and one of the things that we planted was carrots. I love carrots, but I don't know how that carrot's growing. I can't see it in the ground. I've been yelled at more than once for pulling the carrot to see how big it is. pull it out, little tiny inch long or so. Wait a couple of a week or two, pull another one out, up, it's about 2 inches long. Go another week, hey, I've got a 5-inch carrot. So I pull another one out, it's only about an inch long again. But I got to be patient, and that patience takes time. It's not usually instantaneous. Some of the biggest learning opportunities I've had has been when I've had to go through something that took a little bit of time, a little bit of effort, a little bit of focus to get through it all. And that's the thing, is if we get the answer right away sometimes, we just don't let it sink in. We don't let it build us up. We don't let it actually do its work that it needs to do in us. But then he also talks about the comfort of the Scriptures. And God's Word is comforting. I would say we talked about confessions of faith this morning. You guys repeated after me, said a lot of things. Those are all promises and things that God's Word tells us. No, I do have love. I do have joy. I do have peace. So it's important to build up our neighbors with God's Word also. But we need to watch how we do it. Because we so often we can make somebody stumble saying, oh, well, if you had faith like a mustard seed. Oh, well, if you had faith to speak to that mountain and say, be removed. That's hard for somebody that's going through something at the time. We got to do it in the right heart. We got to watch our words as we interact with them. Think about it this way. You can go, hey, you know, when I was going through something, I remember I read in the Scriptures where Jesus said that, yeah, in this world we will face tribulation, but to be of good cheer because he's overcome the world. And you realize that when you've gone through that, after you've gone through it, it wasn't as bad as you thought. The cows still came home, and inside joke for those who have known me for a while, that I went through a lot with our cows. Of all things, God used my cows to teach me a lesson. But through that, God does answer. And you end up with a peace even while you're going through it then. Also, encourage them to get in the Word. Because when they get in the Word, then they'll come across something that just jumps out in the Spirit. So they'll read in Romans where it says, and all things come together for the good of God, for the good of God, for the good of the people who call on God. So encourage them to be in the Word, because they'll come across something that they didn't even realize was there, but they get that aha moment and their spirit's comforted. And then out of that comfort and that patience, we end up having hope. Because we see the promises that are out there. We see what's to come and that we have the victory. Paul continues in verse 5 saying, now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded towards one another according to Christ Jesus. God of patience and comfort. These are revealed attributes of God. So we want to be patient? We can, because we're made in God's image. We want to have comfort? We can, because we're made in God's image. Again, David knew this all too well. You read through the Psalms, and you'll see that he starts out, he's frustrated. I mean, he's just pouring out his heart of what he's going through. He's mad at his enemy. He's running from his son. He's running from Saul, the king at the time. But then through that, you see his heart shift. You see his heart change to where he's comforted by God, and he recorded all of that. And such a testimony for us to see. You know, and God's got to be pretty patient to deal with me. Because I'm sure like me, some of you others have also done some pretty dumb stuff where, man, God's got to be patient to put up with us. And you know what? God never says, hey, you really messed up this time. He says, I'm so frustrated, I'm not going to forgive you. A lot of times he just quietly waits and waits and waits for us to finish satisfying ourselves, complaining, satisfying ourselves, just kind of moping around. Sometimes even in prayer, and he just waits for us to shut up and then starts telling us what he wants to tell us. But God's so good for that. Because then as he's communicating to us, he's comforting us. And that comfort comes through the relationship with God. If you're frustrated about something, if you're anxious about something, pray. Prayer works. So often, you're frustrated with somebody, you pray for them, you pray about them. It's hard to remain frustrated or mad when you're praying. He says to be like-minded to one another. So like-minded, okay, so we're in harmony, we're in step, almost like we're part of the same body. I don't know why this came to me other than it had to have been God, because I haven't heard of Lever 2000 brand in a long time. But do you know what Lever 2000, what the 2000 of their brand is for? 2000 body parts. Their tagline used to be 2000 body parts for the hard parts, soft parts, tough parts, and pretty parts. Doesn't this sound like the Church of Christ? You know, we've got a lot of parts. We've got a lot of different personalities, a lot of different people. But everyone has their different functions. They're different. Everyone is important, though. And you are important. I don't know who that's for, but somebody here need to hear that they are important this morning. And so with patience and comfort with one another, that we should with one mouth and one mind glorify God. And this is where we are right now, is unity. When we glorify God in unity, it's hard to see any of us by ourselves, but God will be the one that they see when they see our unity. God will be the only one they see that's shining through. I love the fact that we've been gathering together as churches, getting together to pray. The last time we got together was at the courthouse when all of the stuff with the police had started and people were protesting in town here. And we got together at the courthouse to pray for our police officers and that. And we had some of the police officers come out. And my truck is fairly noticeable. It's somewhat unique. People recognize it. So I had somebody come up to me the next day at work, asked if that was my truck they saw over there at the courthouse, if that was us on at the courthouse. I told him, yeah, and explained to him that it was, he thought it was just our church that I said was praying. And I told him that, no, it's a lot of area churches coming together to pray. And he was just blown away. I don't know why he was blown away. I don't know. He didn't tell me what his backstory was with the church, but from what I can tell, it kind of sounded like he may have been hurt or may have seen some of the church splits. His family may have been a part of some of those, some of that that was going on. And he was almost dumbfounded at the unity that I was telling him about. And just like that, some of that acts of unity speaks more than we even realize. Something as simple as my truck sitting at the courthouse struck up a conversation that with somebody I don't normally interact with, but it struck up a conversation that there was a seed watered, planted, maybe some restoration that went on with it. So we all need unity. And that unity, it does require community. Again, we need each other in the body. We need each other interacting. With everything with COVID and all that, we don't know what the government's going to try to throw at us. But having those relationships going before the government tries to do anything, or having those relationships going before the enemy tries to do anything, strengthens us. We need to look past what's in it for me and look to see what we can do to help others. Well, Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, we thank you for what you have been doing in our lives. We do just praise you for the wonderful things that you're trying to do with unity, God. Lord, we pray for our hearts to be knitted together. Jesus, just as you said, as you and the Father are one, for us to be one, God. Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, we honor you. Lord, show us what we need to do in the coming days. Show us who we need to interact with, Lord. Lord, maybe it's reaching out to those that we wouldn't otherwise reach out to, God. We look to you. We listen for you, God. Direct our paths. We just thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.